This would be enough to get you to Chasm City. Not much more than that, though.
And how would I get to Chasm City?
It's not difficult, even now. There's a slowboat shuttle which makes the run down to New Vancouver in orbit around Yellowstone. From there you'd need to buy a place on a behemoth to get down to the surface. I think what you have should be enough, if you are prepared to abstain from some luxuries.
Such as?
Well, any guarantee of arriving safely, for a start.
I smiled. I'd better hope my luck's in, then.
But you're not planning on leaving us yet, are you, Tanner?
No, I answered. Not just yet.
There were two other things in the briefcase, a dark flat envelope and another fatter one. Amelia had left me alone by the time I tipped the flatter of the two onto the chalet's bed. The contents spilled out. Less in it than I had expected, and nothing that seemed like a revelatory message from my past. If anything, the contents were designed to confuse me even more. A dozen passports and laminated ID cards for myself, all valid at the time I had boarded the ship, and all applicable to some part of Sky's Edge and its surrounding space. Some were simply printed, others had computer systems embedded into them. I suspected that most people could have managed with only one or two such documents, excepting that there were areas they could not legally enter, but from what I gathered from the document's small print, I would have been able to travel more or less freely in and out of war zones and militia-controlled states, into the neutral zones, and into the low-orbital space around the planet. They were the documents of someone who needed to get around without interference. There were some anomalies, though. What appeared to be trifling inconsistencies in the personal data in each document, places of birth and places I had visited. In some of the documents I was listed as having been a soldier in the Southland Militia, whereas in others I was affiliated to the Northern Coalition as a tactical specialist. Other documents failed to mention any soldiering history at all, listing me only as a personal security consultant or an agent for an import-export firm. Suddenly the document stopped being a confusing jumble and cohered into a clear indication of the kind of man I had been. I was someone who needed to be able to slip across borders like a ghost. A man of many guises and pasts, most of them probably fictitious. I sensed that I had been a man who lived dangerously, someone who probably made enemies the way most people made acquaintances. I guessed that it had seldom bothered me much. I was a man who could think about killing a pervert monk without breaking sweat, and then refrain from the act because the monk was not worth the tiny expenditure of energy it would have taken. But there were three other things in the envelope, tucked at the back so that they had not fallen out at first. I pulled them out carefully, my fingers feeling the gloss surfaces of photographs. The first picture showed a woman of striking dark beauty, a nervous smile on her face, backdropped by what looked like the edge of a jungle clearing. The picture had been taken at night. Angling the picture to look past her, I could just see the back of another man examining a gun. It could almost have been me. But then who had taken the picture and why did I have it with me?
Gitta, I said. Without any effort I had remembered her name. You're Gitta, aren't you?
The second picture showed a man standing in what might once have been a road, but which was little more than a potholed trail, curtained on either side by jungle. The man was walking towards the person taking the picture, a huge black weapon slung over his shoulder. He wore a shirt and a bandolier, and though his build and age were more or less the same as mine, his face was not quite the same. Behind the man, there was what seemed to be a fallen tree blocking the road, except that the tree ended in a bloodied stump.